Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. I want to talk to you from a thought of reasons to stay in the race. Amen. We need to understand that the life that we live in this Christian journey is a race. Amen. It's not a race that we run fast, but it's a race that we continue to endure in order to make it to the finish line. Amen. Whenever you start as a Christian, it's not for you to start and then say, you know what, I think I had enough of this because of all the things that I go through. I think I'll just throw in the towel. Amen. That's not an option when you become a Christian. Amen. But the book of Hebrews, it is a debate about who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say it was Paul. Some say it was Barnabas. Some say it was this person or that person. But the one thing that we do know is that it is one of the greatest arguments ever written in history. Up until the late 50s and early 60s, in order for you to become a lawyer at Harvard, you had to be able to read the book of Hebrews in the Greek text, in its original text, and you had to understand how to present an argument and to prove your case by an argument. Amen. And so the book of Hebrews, what does it do? It presents an argument that Jesus is far greater than anything else. And then it proves the argument against everything that any Jew or Gentile could try to compare Jesus to. Amen. He talked about how Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than the law. He's greater than the blood sacrifices of animals and things like that. He proved in his writing, that in his argument, that Jesus is greater than everything. Amen. And so that is a good thing if you want to understand how to apologetically defend your faith. And when I say apologetically, I'm not talking about apologizing, because we really use that word out of context, because to apologize really means to explain. Doesn't mean to say I'm sorry. Come on and say amen. And so to apologetically understand and to display or to share your faith with someone else, you read the book of Hebrews or even the book of Romans, and you will find yourself being one of the people who we can honestly say can apologize or apologetically talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. And defend the faith of every Christian. Well, Paul writes in chapter 11, he writes in chapter 11, and when he writes, he talks about how faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He talks about how there are others who, by faith, they were able to conquer and to do things that nobody else could do, and it was done by faith. And he talks about all of these examples, and he says that even, like, for instance, Elijah, he said by faith he was able to pray that it not rain, and then he prayed again, and then it did what? It rained. Amen. By faith, Abel was able to offer up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain because he offered it by faith. That goes to show you that no matter what you do, if you come to the house of God and you don't do it in faith, amen, then all that you do is in vain, and God will reject what you do. Come on and say amen. So whenever you're running a race, you don't want to run it in vain. You want to run to make sure that you're in condition to be able to finish it. Amen. But I'm going to talk to you about this because it says in verse number 1 in chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. The first thing that we need to consider while we're running this race so that we don't give up is that we first need to consider the other saints. Amen. We need to consider the people who have gone before us, the people who had a religion that they can truly talk about. Amen. The story was told that a young boy went to his grandfather's farm and he said, Grandfather, I just want to walk around and see all the animals you got. And so he knew that his grandfather was a religious man. And so he walked around and he saw the chickens. They were jumping up and down and they were scratching on the ground. And he looked at the chickens. And he said, They ain't got it. Then he went on and he saw the horses and the cows in the fields. And he said, the horses, they ain't got it. He looked at the cows and they were jumping and kicking and bucking and everything else. And he looked, he said, they ain't got it. And then he walked over to an old donkey. The donkey was just standing there looking. And the donkey had such a long, long face. And he looked at the donkey and he said, nah, he got it. And so the grandpa said, what are you talking about, grandson? What are you talking about? He said, I was looking for some of your animals to have the same religion as you had. He said, the rest of them, they ain't got it. But this donkey, he got it. And so what I'm saying is that what do we have to witness? What kind of witness do you have? Do when people look at you, they say, oh, I don't want that kind of religion because it's some long-faced religion, something that don't bring any joy, that don't bring any peace. Come on and say, man, I don't want that kind of religion that I can't have peace in the midst of my storm. I don't want the kind of religion that don't give me a testimony. You're talking about you've been through a test, but did you pass the test? Come on and say, man, I want a religion that I can be a witness, and that when I join the cloud of great witnesses, that people can look and say, now he endured, and come on and say, man, now he made it through. Now he was tried and tempted, and he made it. Amen. What kind of witness do you have in your religion? He says, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. There are saints that have gone through so much. They've gone through so many different things. They've been tried. They've been tested. Even in chapter 11, you'll see where it talks about how they were. Some of them were thrown into the lion's den and the lion's mouths were shut up. You'll find where it talks about how some of them were sawn asunder, cut in two, but they still had faith. You'll find in chapter 11, it's plenty of things that talk about how they had to hide and wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute. They were tormented, and they did all of this, and they still had faith. Amen? They were taken through a whole lot of things, but they were not perfect, but they were perpetual. They were not perfect, but they were persistent. Amen? They continued to endure hardness as a good soldier. Now, if I'm going to be a part of a group, I want to be a part of a group that's going to endure. I don't want to be a part of a fly-by-night group. I don't want to be a part of a group that today they're here and tomorrow you say, where they at? Where they at? Amen. I want to be a part of a group that has some staying power. And so when we look at, he says, we are compassed about. In other words, that we got all kind of witnesses around us to help us if we just think about them. If we consider all that they've been through in the 60s and 70s. Come on and say, man, better yet, let's back up 400 years ago or 200 years ago or 100 years ago when all of those who we call our ancestors were in slavery. They looked and they had hope that God would someday deliver them. They were a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. They didn't complain, but they kept the faith. Amen. And so we're compassed about with witnesses all around us. Witnesses to let us know. And look, and one writer says that the witnesses are in the stands watching the race that we're running. The witnesses are looking at us, and guess what? They're cheering us on. There are some people who have passed on before us in our family. They're cheering. They're knowing. They're saying that you can do it. You can finish this race. You don't have to give up. You don't have to stop, but you can finish the race. Come on and say amen. So he said, we are past. We're surrounded with people. We're surrounded not just with people, but we're surrounded with testimonies. We're surrounded even in this room right now. I can guarantee that if I took the mic and gave it to a bunch of you, you can testify that God is a healer. Come on and say amen. If I pass the mic, somebody here could say, oh yeah, God is a keeper. Oh yeah, if somebody else would get it, they might say that he is a way maker. Oh, because he made a way for me. Oh yeah, if I give it to somebody, they could testify and say, you know what, he's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother, because when I didn't have nobody, he made a way and he kept me. He was there with me when everyone else was gone. The Lord was right there with me. I guarantee in this room we have a cloud of witnesses that can say that when I didn't have anything, Jesus fixed it up to where it didn't look like I didn't have nothing. Oh yeah, that he'll fix it, amen. He's a heart fixer, a mind regulator. He regulates my mind. It kept it from racing off, kept me from going crazy. Oh yeah, I can tell you, if I give the mic to somebody, you can say, Jesus is my psychiatrist. Oh, come on and say amen, because I knew I was going to go crazy if it had not been for the Lord on my side. If I give it to somebody else, they can say he was an ophthalmologist. Say amen, because now I can see better. Oh, yeah. He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now because of him, oh, yeah, I can see. Oh, come on and say amen. I can say that he's an orthodontist because he fixed my mouth to stop lying and cussing. Oh, y'all don't hear me in here this morning. I wish I had somebody to help me preach this morning. He's my ENT, ear, nose, and throat, because at one point I couldn't say a word about it. At one point I didn't want to hear the gospel. At one point I couldn't discern what the Spirit of God was saying, but he fixed all of that just for me. Just for me. Yes, he did. Oh, yeah, and so we can testify of what he can do. And you know one thing we need to realize in this day, that our children are going through a whole lot. Our children have to deal with much more than we had to deal with. But you know, he'll be a pediatrician too. He'll take care of your children no matter where they are, what they're doing, or no matter how sick they get in the body or in the mind. God can heal them and get them well, just as his name is Jesus. Amen. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Then look at this, another thing to consider. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we need to look at what has been set before us, but we also need to look at what will set us back. Amen. We're looking at the saints, but we need to consider some things that set us back and some things that this race has been a set up for us. Amen. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. The word weight is the word aknos in the Greek. And it means whatever causes you to bend, whatever bulges, whatever puts more weight on you than you need and more weight than you can bear. For instance, a person who's about 800 pounds can't run a marathon. So it means that he has to discipline himself and he has to work hard. Some of us got to work harder than others. Oh, come on and say amen, to lay aside some things. He said, lay aside the weight, the thing that got you bent over, the thing that got your head hanging down. It's time to lay it aside. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we need to lay some things aside. It's some burdens that other people put on you, some things that they put in your mind. You know, a lot of times those burdens come from people putting bugs in your ear. Psst, come here, let me put a bug. And you're talking, come on and say amen. And whatever they said, you can't even sleep at night. Whatever they said, you can't look at that person like you used to look at them. Whatever they said, come on and say amen. But you need to tell them, I don't want your bugs. Oh, come on and say amen here. I don't want your bugs, because those bugs will take the life out of me. Amen. I don't want your bugs, but I got some pesticide for you. Oh, come on and say amen. It's called a word from the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He said, let us lay aside the weight and the sin. Amen? Let us lay aside the sin that so easily beset us. Now, there's some things that weigh us down, even though it may not be sin, but because we start to worry, it becomes sin, because now we're not operating in faith. Oh, yeah, some things that gets us out of faith. It moves us. That I'm not moved. Amen. I'm not going to be moved by the things that what I hear, see, or feel. Amen. But we need to know there are some things which will set us back. Amen. And those things, there are weights that come upon us. There's a heavy load that we can't hardly bear. Amen. And that keeps us from running at a good pace. Amen. The heaviness of the weight keeps us from moving forward. And he said, the sin which so easily beset us. It's some unbelief that happens whenever we get weighted down. It's some things that we start. The sin of unbelief is what we need to be saved from. God can deal with the rest of it. He can deal with all the other stuff that we get ourselves into. But when you have unbelief, you have no connection. So we need to be delivered from the sin of unbelief. He said that so easily besets us. In other words, these things cause us, the word beset really means to cause us to stand around. If we're in a race, we should be running. Oh, come on and say amen. If we're in a race, we should be making some progress. But if you're in a race and you decide to stop and stand around, that means now you're not really in the race. That means that you're in the way. So God does not want you in the way. He wants you in the race. And so whatever it is that got you in the way, because some of us are getting in the way of our own blessing. Some of us are getting in the way of God blessing us. Come on and say amen. Some of us are getting in the way of God doing something in other people's life because we don't understand what God is doing. But we need to know that I'm not going to be standing around. I'm not going to be just sitting here waiting around looking. I'm not going to hinder the other races because I got a race to run myself. In other words, when I'm in my lane, I'm looking at my lane only. I'm not looking behind me to see who's behind. Come on and say amen. I'm looking at the finish line. That's why Paul said that I'm looking for the high call. Amen. That I press toward the mark for the prize of the higher call, which is in Christ Jesus. I need to get my reward. I don't know about you, but this race that we are running in is not a race that whoever get there first. Oh, you ought to hear me today. It's not about getting there first. It's about getting there, period. Amen. Everybody that crossed the line gets a medal. Everybody that crossed the line gets a reward. And so I'm not going to be standing around wondering who's behind me or because somebody outran me and got there before me. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm not worried about the next man, but I'm staying in my lane. I'm not trying to knock somebody else off course because I'm tired. Won't you stay back here with me? No, you keep on running and let me catch you. Come on, let me try to keep moving. Amen. He says, let us run this race with patience, the race that is set before us. This race is a setup. God has put this race together just for you because he knows that you can endure. He said, let us run with what? Patience. We need to run with patience. Amen. We need to be patient and to be able to endure. That's what that word patient means in that text. It means to be able to endure as you run. There are some things that we are going to be running to, like hurdles that we have to cross. Amen. And since there are hurdles that we will have to cross, he said that you ought to patiently jump over them. Just because somebody scaled them before you don't mean that you need to give up and say, I don't think I can do it. You need to be patient and jump every hurdle with the grace of God. Oh, yeah. He said, let us run with patience the race that God has put before us. We need to know that we didn't choose the race. God did. So you know what? When you go and you decide that you want to run track, the track coach is the one that really chooses which race you run. Oh, we got a coaching, man. We got a coach, and his name is Jesus. And he's saying, you thought that you could run the 100. You thought you could be a relay person. But he said, no, I want you in the mile. I believe you can run this race. Come on and say amen. Even though you say, I don't think I can, he said, hold on. I can train you to be able to do it. So I don't care if you don't think you can do it. You may have been a speedster, but don't worry about that. I'm gonna show you just how to run. And the thing about running a race, you ever notice that people that take off and they're in a distance race or in a marathon, they always finish last? Oh, yeah, you got to run with what? Patience. You got to pace yourself. You got to know how to breathe right. You got to know how to stay focused. Even if people do pass you by, that's all right. I'm keeping my pace. And see, if you keep a good pace, the enemy can't slow you down. You won't decide that you want to stand up and stand around because I got a comfortable pace that I'm running this race in. Come on and say amen. I'm halfway done now. now. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, we've already saw that we need to consider the saints and look at them. Amen. We not only need to consider the saints, but we need to consider what's been set before us, and we need to consider what will set us back. And we know those things. And so now he said we need to consider looking at the Savior. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now he's telling us that we need to consider our Savior. The thing about this, he says, we need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. When we begin to look at the author, it really means the chief, the captain, the one who leads us. Amen. He's the leader of the pack. We need to see that he's already finished it. Lord, help me in here. We need to look. He said in the cross, he said it's finished. And so we need to look at the fact that if he finished it and he gave us what caused him to finish it, which was the Holy Spirit, then we ought to be able to finish too. Oh, come on and say amen. The author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, not only did was he the author and finisher. The finisher means to be the completer, the consummator. The finisher is what he is. He's the one who's done it all just for us. Basically, here we are in a race that's already set up for us to win. Lord, help us today. We're in a race and we're running, but the setup is that we're going to win anyway. Oh, Lord, help me today. And he says, who for the joy that was set before him. The word joy is the word kara in the scripture. And it really means to have a character. Amen. His character and his attitude that he had while he was in the race. Now, we got to look at his race. His race was much harder than our race. His race caused him to be lied on. Come on and say amen. His race caused people to conspire against him to kill him. His race, he encountered so many demonic forces in his race. In his race, he was beaten to a pulp. In his race, he was crucified on a cross. But he finished his race and said he finished the race with joy. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross. He endured everything with joy. Why did he have joy? Because he knew at the end of this, everything's going to be all right. Oh, yeah, he knew that at the end of all that I'm going through, not only will I be able to say it's finished, but you'll be able to say I got victory. Oh, praise his name. Now, he said that because I went through all of that, all creation has ability to now accept me and be saved and share eternal life with me, all because I endured. And so he had joy in his heart. He said, I got to go through this because I got somebody sitting at 1122 at Living Word Ministry. I got somebody sitting in there that needs to know that I love them enough that I finished the race for them. Oh, come on and praise his name. He said that he despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He despised the shame. What did he do? He didn't care about them making him ashamed. Amen. They took him and they beat him to a pulp. They stripped him. And I know we always look at how on TV and stuff, that how they have the little thing wrapped around him, but he didn't have on anything. They stripped him naked to make him an embarrassment. And he said, I'll go through the embarrassment for you so you don't have to be embarrassed anymore. That you can come to me. Come on and say amen. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh yeah, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to go to him because he's done all of these things for us. And he said, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the reward. You get to be in the presence of God. He said that he is set down at the right hand. The right hand means the place of power. He sat down in the place of power at the throne of God. And so what does that mean? That means that when he came back, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. It means that I finished the race and this is my reward. I got all power. And the power that he talks about is not the power that we know. We know that electrical power is a very good power because it can power up anything that we need, anything that we use. But I tell you, there's a power that's more powerful than electrical power. We know that nuclear power is a power that can destroy and take away some things. Come on and say amen. And nuclear power can be felt for years and years and years, hundreds of years. You can tell where nuclear power was present. Come on and say amen. But I'm telling you, there's a power that's much stronger than nuclear power. There's a power called horsepower that's in your motor, in your car. And some of you, you got those cars that you rev the engine up, you think you can run somewhere. But I'm telling you, there's a power that's much stronger than that power. And it is the power that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. It's the power, Paul said, that if I just to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, amen, then I can know him in the power of his resurrection. And in order for us to know him in the power of his resurrection, we got to go through some things. And while we in this journey, while we're on this race that we're supposed to be running, we're going to have some sorrows. We're going to have some sicknesses. We're going to have some situations that are unfavorable to us. But because what he's done for us already is already done, I think I'll keep on running. Come on and say amen. He says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. In order for me not to give up, in order for me not to throw in the towel, come on and say amen. In order for me not to say, I quit, that's it. I need to consider what he's done. I need to consider that he went through all of that just for me. I need to consider that he was beaten just for me. I need to consider that all that he went through on the cross, the nails being put in his hand, he did that just for me. Y'all ought to get with me and preach this morning. You ought to tell somebody that he did it just for me. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He allowed them to pluck his beard out and place a thorn of crowns on his head just for me. He died. Oh, come on and say amen. He died on the cross just for me. And not only did he die on the cross, but he went down through hell. And when he went down there, he did that even for me. Come on and say amen. But you know what? He came back to the grave. And early Sunday morning, I wish I had some help to help me preach this morning. Early Sunday morning, he rose up with power. And he did all of that just for me. And he hung around for 40 days. Hung around and taught the disciples all the things that they should know about the kingdom. Why did he do it? Just for me. Come on and say amen. And you ought to tell your neighbor, he did it just for me. You see, we got to continue to run this race. It's the reason why he said it before you. He's saying that you don't have a choice in the matter. He said that I've chosen this race for you. I believe that you can finish the race. I believe that you can't throw in the towel, but you got to stay on course. Don't get out of your lane, but stay on course. You got to remember these words. The Bible said the race is not given to the swift. I don't know about you, but if some people can run faster than me. He says, not given to the swift, nor to the strong. There's some people that look a lot stronger than me, but he said, to the one that endureth to the end. But I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind that I won't turn back. I'm not looking at what's behind me, but I'm reaching to what's before me. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Can I get somebody that'll say along with me, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I'm still in the race. I had many people pass me by. Looked like I had a cramp at some time. Looked like I was about to give up. Looked like I pulled a hamstring. I had a whole bunch of stuff